relationship with us and God. But this is the one that will determine the effect that you will have on your destiny. You know, everything that you do in life, you're going to leave behind. All the money that you make and all of the stuff that you acquire, everything that you do in the life in the natural will cease to be yours when you go. The only thing that will matter is the influence that you have had while you're here. And the greatest opportunity that we have to influence is with our children. In fact, if we never learn to be the kind of influence on our children that we should be, I don't know that we'll be much of an influence anywhere. Are y'all with me today? You're a good-looking crowd today, by the way. Say amen. You ought to say amen on that one. Okay, it says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, in keeping with his individual gift or bent, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Our greatest challenge as parents is to help find our children the way that they are gifted, the way that they are bent, their personality, and to help aim them in the direction that they should go. And the Bible says that when they're old, they shall not depart from it. Another one is in Psalms 127, verse 4, and it says this, as arrows are in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. What do you do with an arrow? You shoot it, don't you? What do you shoot it toward? You shoot it towards a target. Our greatest challenge as parents is to aim our children at targets. It is to aim our children at targets. There is a target in life that we all have. And my greatest responsibility as a parent to help aim the arrows that I have been trusted with at the target that they're supposed to hit. We have to draw back the bow. We have to release the arrow. And the arrow flies towards its target. It's our responsibility to make sure that that arrow flies in the right direction. And we do that not by control. We do that by our influence. Now, we're going to talk about four things today that has to do with development of children. Let me go ahead and give them to you. Number one is love. Number two is instruction. Number three is choice. And number four is rewards and consequences. And those are the four things that we're going to talk about today. Love, instruction, choice, rewards, and consequences. These are all important. But I'm going to start with the greatest one first, and that is love. You remember when we talked about developing your circle with God, your relationship with God? You will never form like you should as a Christian until you realize that you are loved by God. If you think that God hates you, if you think that God doesn't like you, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to grow as a Christian the way that you should. See, we need to learn to live in the Father's love. We need to learn how to live loved. Now, I don't think very many Christians do that. I think a lot of Christians live condemned. But it's self-condemnation mostly, because God loves you enough that He accepts you as a believer. He accepts you as His child. And when we learn to live loved, then we can learn how to give love. Amen? Are we out there today? So the greatest thing that we can learn as Christians is how to love. And when children come into our lives, guess what we need to be ready to do? We need to be able to love them unconditionally. Unconditionally. Now, love is not the only ingredient, but it is the most important ingredient. See, this love that you have for your spouse, for your children, should flow out of your core. It should flow out of your relationship with God. Because we're not talking about conditional love. We're not talking about any other kind of love than unconditional love. God's love. It's not always easy to love our children. Yeah, I always love my children. Yeah, but sometimes you want to. You know, I love something that John Osteen said. This is Joel's daddy. He says, you know, and you have to hear his style of preaching. He was a little banty rooster preacher. But he says, you know, the Bible says that children are a blessing from God. He says, there's been times I nigh near beat a little blessing to death. And he's probably talking about Joel. Aren't you glad he didn't kill Joel? Well, sometimes, you know, your emotions, your anger that we saw in the skit, we allow anger to control the way that we deal with our children. And guess what? You know what we're doing when we're angry and we're yelling and we're all in their face and we're not acting like God, we're not representing God. You know what we're doing? We're aiming the arrow away from the target. I want you to think a minute. How is it that God deals with you? Does He get angry with you? Does He yell at you? Does He slap you around? I think the answer to that is no. Then why do we think that is proper parental skills? Now, I believe in spanking, okay? I don't have a problem with spanking. I'm not saying that. But a lot of times, we, out of our lack of self-discipline, we discipline our children. But what we need to do as believers is grow in our relationship with God so that we can represent God in the way that we deal with our children. Is it a challenge? See, we call it children discipline. I don't think it's child discipline at all. I think it's parental discipline. You have to be disciplined to be a parent. You can't afford to explode in anger, because when you do, that's the spirit that you convey to your child. That is the representation of God that you give to your child. Wow. That's heavy revy there. So when we do this, we need to realize that the way that we deal with our children should be the way that God deals with us. He deals with love, instruction, choice, rewards, and consequences. And this is what we're going to talk about today. But the first thing we have to talk about is the love issue. See, the husband, Chris was talking to me the other day, and he used this word. He says that the husband and wife relationship is a crucible. And that kind of intrigued me a little bit, so I looked up a crucible. What is a crucible? A crucible is a vessel that is used, it's a refractory vessel that can take intense heat. And what they do is they put an ore in that crucible and they heat it up. And what happens, and they did this a lot, they do it with gold, to purify gold, they do it with copper quite a bit. So what they heat it up, in order to get the bad stuff out of it and the pure metal to the top or to the bottom. And so this is a vessel that is good for that. And this is what the marriage ought to be like. The marriage ought to be a crucible. The husband and wife relationship is a crucible for taking the ore. You know what? When children come to us, they're unformed, aren't they? They're ore. They have all within them the qualities that they need to grow up properly, but they need to be educated, they need to be trained, they need to be all of these kind of things. They're just kind of like a raw ore. But the home life ought to be, the relationship of the husband and wife ought to be the crucible in which that process of bringing the purity of character comes forth. But what if the marriage is not like it should be? Then is it going to affect the way the child is raised? Yes. We have hundreds and millions of people in this earth that we define as dysfunctional. And a lot of the dysfunction goes back to the fact that they come from a broken home, Or there's an absentee father in the home. Or there's an absentee mother in the home. Or there's the lack of love in the home. Or there's the lack of caring in the home. And we have people who grow up with a disadvantage and we call it dysfunctional. Because they didn't receive from the crucible. They didn't go through that process of training and purification that they should have. And that takes place in the home. See, here's what we have a tendency to do with our children. They get to be school age and we turn them over to the school and say, educate my children, and we step back and we don't participate. Or we bring them to church and we bring them to Miss Nancy and says, okay, your spiritual training is, give it to them. And we don't participate at all in the spiritual training of our kids. We did the Awana program for several years. And I'm going to be real. One of the greatest problems that we had, that the kids would come to class and they had not worked on their homework. And the parents were the ones that were supposed to make sure that they learned the verses. And so many of them did not do well in the Awana program because they were not getting the support at home that they needed. See, it is not the responsibility of the church to be in charge of the spiritual development of your children. It is not just the responsibility of the school to educate your children. You are to be the shaper of that thing. I hope the second crowd gets more excited than the first crowd. No, I'm kidding. I know this is hard stuff, but it doesn't need to be hard stuff. So the first ingredient that has to go into this thing is the love relationship. Now you need to remember, when we're talking about love, we're talking about God. See, God doesn't have love. God is love. And that's what it should, when our children look at us, they should see love. They should see love. They should say, you know, my mom and dad don't have love. They are love. They have shown me the love that I needed so that I can go through this process of development so that the ore can turn into the finished product. And then, we need to realize that God disciplines in love. Now this is the biggie right here. You know how we discipline? And we've all been guilty. I've done this. I've grabbed a little blessing by the throat. So have you. I've yelled at a blessing. So have you. But just because I've done it doesn't make it right. Okay? If you're doing it, then I got a word for you. Thus saith the Lord. Quit. Okay? We should discipline in love. Not in anger. Not in frustration. Not in any of those things. And let me tell you, this is a challenge because we're human beings. And we're not perfect. But when you mess up, guess what? You ought to fess up. I've had to go to my kids before and say, listen, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? I didn't do it very often, but I have done that. But I have done that. If you're wrong about something, admit it. You'll be surprised the volumes that will speak to your child. They will forgive you. You're not going to be a perfect parent. But to get in this whole mindset that you're angry at your kids all the time, you are projecting an image that's how God is. And God's not mad. God's not mad. We show our children God. Their image of God that they have with God is because you are called a father or a mother or a parent. And it flows from God. And they get in their minds, they somehow see that that's how God is. So we need to be like God in the way that we discipline our children, in the way that we love our children. So God's discipline is in love. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. But He does it out of love. He doesn't do it out of anger. And here's another thing about love and about God. God values the thing that He disciplines. He values the person that He disciplines. We should value our children as we discipline our children. It takes discipline. Okay, are you listening to me? It takes discipline to discipline. And you got to be a disciplined discipliner. It just doesn't need to be out of our anger, out of our frustration, out of all of those things. We need to represent God. The second thing that we need to talk about is instruction. If you go back into Genesis chapter 2, we don't have time to turn and read that, but if we looked at that and we looked at what happened in the garden, God gave instructions to Adam. He put him in this paradise called Eden. And He says, you know what? This is yours. I want you to take care of it. I want you to guard it. And I've only got one rule. And here's the rule of every tree that you can freely eat, but the tree that's in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. He loved him. He gave him something wonderful. He gave him instructions about it. And then He gave him the consequences if he made the wrong choice. He gave him the right to choose. And yet then He told him about the consequences of the choices that he would make. Now, God did not discipline him because he messed up. But God did not discipline him without telling and defining the boundaries of what he had told him. He set the parameters. Parameters are important to children. They really are. Because we become secure when we understand what our parameters are. We're secure in this building today. Aren't you glad it's cool in here? Aren't you glad for the atmosphere that's in here? If it was raining, we'd really be glad. If it was hailing, we'd be glad. But we're glad because we have parameters. And we have a sense of security in this building. Well, instruction is a whole lot like parameters. When you say, you can do this, but don't do this. You can do this, but don't do this. Have you ever seen a child that has no instruction? You can do whatever you want to. That child is very insecure. And I think part of our security comes out of the parameters that are set for us by our parents in our lives. Can I say this to you? If you are trying to be your child's best friend, you're making a mistake. You are not called to be a friend to your child. You are called to be a parent to your child. Now, when they grow up, I'm still a parent today, but I consider my sons my friends. I can have a different relationship with them today because I don't have to set parameters in their lives anymore. I'm there if they need my advice. I'm there if they need me for anything. But I don't have to set all the parameters, and I can be more of a friend than I am a parent. I will always be their parent, but I can be their friend now. But when they were little, I had to get in their face. I had to set parameters. I had to make rules. I had to whoop puppies. There had to be punishment that was meted out. Those are the things that you have to do. See, you're not called to be a friend. You're called to be a parent. So instructions, we need those boundaries. We do well when we understand what these boundaries are. See, rules should be concise, simple, and easy to understand. We need to be clear. You're dealing with children, not adults. Don't expect a child to think like an adult. So your instructions to them need to be easy, they need to be simple, and they need to be able to understand what you're trying to tell them. They need to know not only what the rules are, but what will happen if they disobey the rules. They need to understand the consequences of those rules. If you do that again, then guess what? This will be the consequence. Okay? And then let me give you a little hint. If they do it again, consequence should follow. Otherwise, you lied. So don't say stupid stuff like, if you do that again, I'm going to throw you out the window. No. No. Like I'm telling you, this is parental discipline. It's not children discipline. And here's the last thing with instruction. Rules should be communicated verbally and visually. In other words, you should model what you're trying to teach them. In other words, your greatest influence will be the example. If you're standing there with a cigarette in your hand and you're saying to your kids, don't smoke, guess what? They're looking at this. They're not listening to this. Now, I just use that as an example. We could hold a beer can. We could be gossiping. Don't you gossip and you're on the phone. I mean, whatever it is that you're trying to instruct them, those are the things that you need to be doing in front of them. And those are the things that you need to be doing when nobody's looking. Okay? So we're talking about instruction. Everybody say instruction. Okay. The third thing is choices. Choices. Should children be given choices? And I think yes. But now listen to this. See, God gives you choice. God loves you unconditionally as a Christian, whether you're a Christian or not, He loves you unconditionally. He gives you instruction and He gives you the choice of whether you're going to obey that instruction or not. He says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. He has given us the way of salvation. We get to choose whether we obey that or not. If we obey it, there's rewards. If we disobey it, there are consequences. And you won't like those consequences. But with everything in life, there is love, there is instruction, and then there is choices. But now we're dealing with kids. We're dealing with people that we're trying to form. So are we going to be saying, okay, I'm not going to try to instruct my kid. I'm just going to let them make all their choices. No. I got a quote for you in just a minute. But I want to say this. I want to use the word guided choices. Remember the arrow? Kids are like an arrow. And we're supposed to shoot the arrow toward a target. Kids need to be instructed. They need to be able to make choices, but they need to be guided in their choices. You cannot allow a kid to make choices because they, I mean, just any kind of choice that they want to make. Because guess what they're going to do? They're kids. They're going to be swayed by every wind that comes along. And we have to be willing to instruct. They say, no, we can't do that. If you do that, then this. Don't ever say, can I do that? No. Why? Because I said so. That's why. Explain. Don't say, do as I say, not as I do. Explain. Model. Show. Guide. Choices are by guiding. See, I've heard parents say, I'm not gonna influence my kids where God is concerned. I'm gonna let them make up their own mind. Well, let me tell you something. You are not the only influencers in your children's lives. And there are people out there that their job, their whole deal is to influence your children. In fact, one of the, top executives of MTV. He was asked the question, how does it feel to be the greatest influence upon our adolescents and youth? His reply, we don't just have the greatest influence on them, we own them. There are people out there who are trying to own the minds of your kids. See, you as a parent, you need to know what they're watching on TV. You need to know the music that they're listening to. See, we're talking about guided choices now. Just, oh yeah, we'll just let them listen to any kind of music they want to. There's some dangerous music out there. There's some dangerous TV programs out there. There's some dangerous stuff going on out there. You need to be involved in their life. Do not use the television as a babysitter. You're making mistakes if you do that. Children need to be guided in their choices. There needs to be parameters for their choices. And then when they make bad choices, guess what? They need to learn about rewards and consequences. That's why when you instruct them, talk to them about the rewards and the consequences if they make bad choices. Are there consequences in life? Let me ask you a question. Are there consequences in life if you choose not to get an education? Are there consequences in life if you choose to leave your spouse? Are there consequences? Are there just consequences on every choice that we make? We need to understand what our rewards and consequences are for the choices that we make in our lives. If you will teach your children these principles, if you'll teach your children these things and guide them through this, not making all of their choices for them, but allowing them within parameters to experience the positive and negative of rewards and consequences. Okay? That's something that we need to do. It's important that we do that. And you know, wow. See, Adam really never intended to devastate humanity by his choice. See, when God says, the day that you eat, you shall surely die, not only did he kill himself, he killed all of his offspring. And that's you and I. The consequences of his bad choice affected a whole lot of people. Sometimes the consequences of the choices that we make as parents will affect our children, our children's children, and our children's children's children. Let's make that a reward and not just a bad consequence. When I choose to serve God, guess what I'm doing? I'm influencing my children. When I model that, what am I doing? I'm influencing my children. Every step that I take that is a positive principle of life, I am influencing my children. If I'm lazy, guess what I'm doing? I'm influencing my children. If I'm a gossip, I'm influencing my children. They need to understand that there are rewards and consequences for things that they do. See, train your children to your word, not your tone. Now, I want you to listen to this. I hate this one. Train your children to your word, not your tone. See, your children, because what we're trying to do is train children to obey and respect the word of God. And here's what we say. If you do that again, I'm going to spank you. They do it again. I said, if you do that again, I'm going to spank you. They do it again. I said, if you do that again, I'm going to spank you. They do it again. I said! And they quit. Are they obeying your word? No. They're obeying your tone. They're obeying your emotion. And we've trained our kids to respond to our tone and our mood. In fact, they can learn to manipulate our emotion. It's the word that has power. See, Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they're spirit and life. And when the words that you speak to your children have power behind them, that there are consequences behind the words that you speak, and it's not about your tone, it's about your word, you'll be amazed at the difference that it'll make in their lives. So, they have to be able to taste of rewards and consequences. And when they're little, you can control the consequences. As they get bigger, it gets harder. There may come a time that the law determines their consequences and you can do nothing about it. And that means that I may have not done a good job about them understanding rewards and consequences. I want good things for our children. I want strong families. I want to see God honored through the lives of the families in this church. That's why this whole circles thing that we've been talking about, that it flows out of your relationship with God. It flows out of your family life. It flows into your children. It flows into your family. It flows into your relationship with other people. and it flows in your relationship with the strangers. Yes, your children are your greatest ministry. I'll say that again. Your children are your greatest ministry. I caught a lot of flack in the early days because I did so much with my kids. I coached baseball. Sometimes I coached 2 and 3 teams in the summer. We ran from park to park to park. Ugh, I hope those days will be over. But we ran from, I mean, Joe was playing in the pitching machine. Kevin was down at the Lowell Park and Davey was playing Babe Ruth. And Kathy and I had to juggle those schedules, and I was coaching 2 of those teams and helping on 1 of them. And you're talking about juggling schedules to try to go. And I had people in the church criticizing me because I was involved with baseball. You need to be out knocking on doors. You don't need to be doing that. Listen, I didn't lose my children. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his children? Listen, if I lost my kids, I'd lose my soul. I can't fathom anybody that would say that, because that is one of my greatest responsibilities is to my family. My family ministry will make this ministry even better. What kind of example would it be today if my kids weren't coming to church and they were out drinking? What does that do to my influence? It affects it. But you know what? My whole family is involved in service of this church. Not only my family, my brother and his family. You say, well, that's an insel church. Yeah, there's a lot of insels in this church. You know why? Because they were raised in church. They were raised to love God. They were raised to serve God. Did we do a perfect job? No, just look at them. You can tell. But they're engaged in serving God today. And it will influence the direction of this church. Just like yours doing what you should will do the same thing. The greatest thing that you could have happen, those of you who have children, that you raise your children in church. And then when you're old, they step up. And they become the teachers, and they become the children's pastors, and they become the pastor, and they become on the worship team. And they're the ones that take the torch and take it to the next generation. Oh, what greater thing is there than that? I can't think of anything that would be greater than that. To see it perpetuated from generation to generation to generation. And they won't be all insels. They'll be Duncans and Jarretts. And West, and Busby's, and Jones's, and Ramsey's. Can you imagine the impact that would have? And little Sesums running around here, or these little darling girls running around here, ministering to people, and Youngs. I could go on and on and on and on. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? I believe it can be. But where does it start? It starts with your relationship with God. It starts with your relationship with your spouse. In the crucible of that relationship, as you begin to form and represent God to your children and love them and instruct them and guide them through their choices and let them taste of the rewards and consequences of life, you will train them to be what they should be for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. Amen.